Okay. Thank you so much, Ron. Thank you. Thank you. And it's good to be back tonight. I've had a little problems this week with my walking again, but it comes and goes. And I don't know how long it'll keep coming before it goes completely, but sometimes I wonder about that, but nevertheless, here we are. Nevertheless, the Lord blesses and carries on with our lives and of course, last time, I did a little piece on my early life and what I endured during the times after World War II. And sometimes I like to go back and remember those things and remember the people that God has sent my way ever since that time. And Mom put me on the bus one morning, and I was 7 years old, and back then there was a time during the summertime that school was in for a little while, and then it was out and then back in again because of cotton picking, because, you know, cotton was the big thing around here. And Mama put me on the bus one morning and Dacusville, and I didn't see her anymore for 7 years, because they were having a divorce, which I had never heard the word really, come to find out, I stayed with Grandmother and Grandpa McCreary for a while, and Grandpa was a preacher. He was a Wesleyan Methodist preacher, and Grandma was a good teacher. And like I said, I guess I said it last time, that I guess maybe she might have been a better preacher than my grandfather was. But, you know, if I had a chance to talk to him again, I think there was a lot of things that he didn't see that we have come to understand now.
Yeah, that's not unusual. We got family members that don't see.
Right, according to the truth.
Michael does too. He was telling
me about
that.
Truth is a mystery. So here we are. And I guess that's one reason why I brought it up, because there was some things there in Matthew 8 and 10 that we needed to look at that we hadn't placed in with our studies that we've been doing in Luke and John. And I never really understood, even though we read it probably two or three times, that John carried a lot of truth of Christ early or in Christ's ministry. It got carried in the scripture too. And we've been dealing with that now for some time. So we're going to go back there again. And turn with me back to John 7, the book of John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And we're going to start at 7:42. I'm going to read 41, but I read it last time we had a meeting, and I'm going to read 41 again to start off with, because that's basically where we left off last time. And it said, others said, this is the Christ. And they had come back to the temple area. And so after coming back to the temple area, most all of them were from that part of the Holy Land. except one, and that was Judas Iscariot. He was the one chosen to carry the purse for the 12 and Christ. Well, if you didn't count him, the others were 12. And there was 11 disciples and Christ, and Jesus. And so everywhere they went, and early on or in the studies of Jesus, he made a lot of, he tried to bring a lot of people along out of the woodwork that were the Jews, and they didn't understand his position and being in Christ, although it had been testified about that sometime that a virgin woman would be the mother of God's child. And this happened to be Mary. And so her and Joseph was a carpenter, I guess, and so was Mary, and of course Mary's sister Elizabeth, and Mary's sister Elizabeth was married to somebody that had a position and dealt in things in the temple. And when Elizabeth got pregnant, happened to be John the Baptist. And so Christ and John the Baptist were first cousins. And so a lot of people got to know John the Baptist for his little time that he had of being a minister. And, but they could never really place Jesus as being who he was. And there was always questions about this. And said, oh, we know you. You know, it's like, well, we know you, but we don't know you. And this happens a lot when we get out and minister to people or to testify to people, and we don't fully know them, but it seems like that sometimes we have to realign our where we come from and how we got to be what we are now in order to for people to understand where we're at now in terms of being, you know, considered to be part of the body of Christ. And so these people that were Jews and had the promises, they could never get it in their head what was meant. So this was the others here that we talked about, and they, some said this, yeah, this is the Christ. But some said, shall Christ come out of Galilee? Well, what was wrong with Galilee? People gets the idea, well, there can't be nothing good here, or there can't be nothing bad here. And that's just not so, because if God wants it to happen, it's going to take place. And so Jesus makes that point everywhere he goes, the Father and I don't do anything, but I do the Father's business. And so let's get to 42 and get started with our study tonight. And the next verse says this, hath not the scripture said that Christ cometh out of the seed of David and out of the town of Bethlehem where David was. Okay. So that seems to make a lot of sense too. So he said, let's, uh, Let me read you my notes. I just read you the scripture. It says, hath not the scripture said? And I put in my notes, unto all who believe, that Christ cometh by the way of the seed of David. Now, a baby generally has to go with their parents. They can't get out and go somewhere by themselves. And especially here in the Jewish community, if a young Jewish boy or a young Jewish man was not married, then his mother, Nettie, was responsible for his actions and for what he said. And they could be picked up, brought up for it. And it's kind of like the kid going to school with a gun today. You know, and they've gotten out of where if somebody goes in and he didn't take care of his weapons, I saw last week where a guy got so many years because his kid took a gun to school. Well, this is kind of the way the Jewish thing worked. If something happened to the young man that needed to be worked on, then it was the father and mother's responsibility to take care of that, if they could.
It's called raising a child.
Yeah.
the correct way. Yeah.
And sometimes we don't do it the correct way. That's for sure. Okay, or that Christ cometh by the way of the seed of David. And you can find that in Psalms 110, verse 132, Isaiah 11:1, and Isaiah 11:10, and Jeremiah 23:5, and so many more that they just quit putting them in there because there's lots of places where it was
reference
said this, you know. And Mary was the chosen virgin, chosen by God. And out of the town of Bethlehem was where David was, because David's family had a burial place there, and they had a burial place in Bethlehem, which is very close to the temple site from Galilee, where all these other 10 people was that God chose to be followers of him, of the Son. Okay? So that is where David was. He was in the grave there. And it says in verse 43, so there was a division among the people because of Jesus. There was a division there.
Well, there's a big surprise.
Some believed one thing and some believed another, and even another believed something else. So this was the way the Jews were. Some believed and some believed not. And some, you couldn't tell what they believed, because they felt like that God had given them a place and they had rooted out them a place amongst the people, and they didn't know what to believe, so they just kind of took the middle of the road situation. And a lot of them turned in to be the council that the people of Rome allowed the council to control the things of the laws of the Jewish people. And so, if they got them a little niche there, then they didn't want to lose that. They didn't ever want to lose that, and a lot of them weren't really sure what they had. And still don't. They didn't then, and I don't think they do now. As far as that goes, in verse 43, it says, So there. You got in 43, it says, so there. You can change that to therefore. Therefore, there was a division among the people because of Jesus. Something that comes between a party or a group. In this instance, was listed in John 3 times. Here, chapter 9, verse 16, and in chapter 10, verse 19, and in John 9, we haven't got there yet, 9:16 in the CB, it was listed, and it said, even to this day, among the people, because of his, even years ago, I must misspell that. A place of any new, companion place. It was part of chapter 11. So the, chapter 11 sense was the service from the age of the 30 years. So maybe it had to do with the beginning of Christ becoming a man of his own and a part of any new companion place. So maybe I misspelled that, and I have done that a few times in my life. I didn't make an A on everything. And it says in verse 44, and some of them would have taken him, but no man laid hands on him. That's verse 44. And so we're getting some information here that probably may have not been put down in some other place in Scripture. But, and we said that some of them that would have taken him, or they desired to take him, and certainly they did desire to take him and had been doing it for some time now in these chapters, because they were always looking to trick him or to do something to get him to show his human side, we'll call it, instead of his godly side, which he didn't bow to that. So they had a problem with that. So in 44, and it said, as some of them would have taken him or desired to take him, and the desire to take him is two verbs. And if you want to look at that sometime, we won't go to it tonight, but in the appendage in the Companion Bible, it's appendage 102-1. There's not many places in here where the two verbs are connected closely within the sentence, but occasionally it happens. It said, but no man laid hands on him. And I have seen this, and I've read it as a kid too, that Man, how he could go through crowds of people and nobody could touch him if he didn't want to be touched. Or, you know, it was just like there was an invisible wall somewhere. And I don't recall ever running up against an invisible wall. But, I've run up and seen myself in a mirror and I said, well, he ain't a very good looking guy. It didn't bother me. But here we are. So, and it says, as he was still in an immune state. Well, if you think about being immune, it means that there's nothing that can
bother you.
Yeah. Bother you in a point to change the way you're thinking or thinking what you've got in your mind to do as what, say what God had wanted the Son to do. He was, that, it wasn't going to interfere with you. Now, I got to think about that a little bit. I said, well, that immune voice, that immune word sounds pretty good. Because he's there to do what God wanted him to do. And all these things that he's going to, all these people that he's going to, meeting all these people that he's healing, all these things that he was doing, it was prepared. It was just like it was prepared there. And he just walked into it like you'd be watching a play and the lead guy would just walk on the stage.
Yeah, his time was not yet. It wasn't time.
And it wasn't time. So it's all maybe based on the time thing. It says time was not yet. And I put that in my notes. The time, not yet. Then we get down to verse 45, and he says, then came the officers to the chief priests and Pharisees, and they said unto them, why have you not brought him? So there's already been something said to go out and get him.
They expected him to be brought back.
To go out and get him. Yeah. You got to go out and get him. Your job is to go out and get him. But if you can't lay hands on him, how do you go out and get him?
Yeah.
Well, they had to come up with something because, you know, over there, the deal was if somebody was supposed to be your prisoner, then you were responsible for him and for what was going on there. So this is part of that. They had been sent or having been sent, by the chief priest and the Pharisees. And this was that of verse 32. So if you want to go back to verse 32 and read it, it'll give you some indication as to what was going on even at that point. Some, 13 verses back. And they said, or this is the officers now, they were supposed to arrest him. And they said unto the chief priests and the Pharisees, or they asked the officers, why have you not brought him? And then in verse 46, the officers made the answer. And 46 said, the officers answered, never a man spake like this man. So they did get there and they did hear him teaching or preaching. I don't know where they talked to him or not, but what he was saying, they even said.
Yeah, we've never heard a guy like this.
No, we've never heard of this man. Yeah. Why do you want him? You know, maybe this was in their mind. Well, why do you want this man? Man, he sounds like he knows what he's talking about. Okay. The officer said, never a man spake like this. And 47 says this, then answered them, the Pharisees, and said, are ye also deceived? So the Pharisees looked at these officers and said, oh, has he already deceived you?
He got to you too, didn't he?
Yeah. He said, well, maybe we need some new officers, you know. I mean, then answered the Pharisees, are ye also deceived? Have ye also been led astray? And that's from verse 12, referring to the action rather than to the thought. So they thought, well, the reason they didn't take him was, you know, they might have could have agreed with him, but the action was supposed to be what they was going for. The action there in 47. Then in 48 it says this, have any of the rulers or all the Pharisees believed on him? They kept digging. They kept wanting to know, are they really somebody?
They were saying, ain't none of us believed on him, yeah. Which is like the gold standard. That's what gets me there. They're so prideful.
They're in the middle of this thing. They afraid they're going to lose their spot and where they are. In 48, have any of the rulers or any of the Pharisees believed on him? Speaking of the Sanhedrin, which is the council. You know, so I was wondering even if this group of 80, if some of them believed on him. And I'm sure they did, to some extent. And so 47 through 49 kind of goes together here, verses 47 through 49. It says, okay, so they get to 49. And when we get to 49, it said, but this people who knoweth not the law are cursed. So the question was, never this man, never a man spake like this man. And the next was, are ye also deceived? And then the ruler said, did the Pharisees believe on him? And then the next was, but this people who knoweth not the law are cursed.
I believe the Pharisees said that too.
Yeah.
These people don't know the law, they're cursed.
Yeah, that
was their whole thing.
They got to be well led astray because what they're going to do is charge him for breaking the law.
Yeah.
Okay. This is where we are. But the people who knoweth not the law are cursed, or laid under are cursed. And that Greek word is epikateretos, only here. And Galatians 3:10. Galatians 3:10. And that's the only two places found in the scriptures where that word was used. Now we get to verse 50. Oh, we get Nicodemus. You remember Nicodemus?
Yep.
Remember what he did? When he went to see Jesus at night?
Private lesson.
He come for a private lesson. That's what he did. No doubt. So verse 50 says this, Nicodemus said to them, he that came to Jesus by night, being one of them, and is. And the question was, doth our law judge any man before it hear him and know what he doeth. So Nicodemus was kind of like one of our Supreme Court people here in the United States. They were the ones that would have the last say in any trial or anything concerning the law. Okay. And so, but Nicodemus, and it made sure because it was in a parenthetical insertion there. Well, maybe not.
Yeah, it's in parentheses.
Okay.
He that came to Jesus by night being one of them.
Being one of them. See, so.
He was a Pharisee too.
Yeah. And so being a Pharisee and being in charge of the law, they thought, he might have been dissuaded or persuaded, whichever way they were looking at it. Came by Jesus by night being one of them. And the word was, or it had been asked, doth our law judge any man before it hear him and know what he doeth? So.
He's actually trying to advocate for Jesus.
Yeah. Because you remember Paul and you remember when we went through some of the things in Paul's life. And they were after him to kill him because of what he believed. And nobody had any word that one could write down and send to Caesar to say what he ought to be charged with.
Yeah.
You know.
They just basically said, this is a lewd fellow. We don't really know what his big crime is.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah. Hey, that's a good point. They never could really nail it down.
Yeah, they couldn't. They couldn't nail it down what Paul was saying because all of these things to them was something they probably never had ever heard before. So Nicodemus is still doing that situation there in that particular thing. And it says in verse 3, and every man went into his own house. See, so most of the people that were there in the temple area and in Jerusalem area and in the area of Galilee, most of them that were dealing with Jesus as Christ was right there. They were all in the same area.
Did you miss 52? Did we go over 52?
52?
Yeah.
Oh, I guess I did.
Yeah, I think you missed 52.
It said, they answered and said unto him, art you also of Galilee? That's what they asked Nicodemus for. Are you not from Galilee too? Search and look, for out of Galilee ariseth no prophet. Oh, wait a minute. That was the good one. I don't know why I missed that, but here I am. And they answered and said to him, are thou also out of Galilee? Search and look. For out of Galilee ariseth no prophet. Look to see. Now, looking and seeing is one thing. But listening and hearing is another thing. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. I'm going to ask all of you here that's listening and with me in the study tonight. Which is more important? Is it looking and seeing? Or is it listening and hearing? Because that's something that has to be answered before I can get through this study as to where I want to go with it. Not tonight so much, but sometime before we're done with the book of John. Okay. We're going to talk about looking here. So if they had looked, where would they went to? It says, And no prophet come out of Galilee. Well, here's one, Jesus, that talks like nobody else talks, knows things that nobody else knows, can do things that nobody else can do as far as healing and doing all the other things. And nobody can reach out to grab him or touch him because he's immune. If they had looked, they would have found that somebody by the name of Jonah that dealt with a big fish came from there, and Hosea came from there and arose out of Galilee, and perhaps Elijah and Elisha and the man named Amos.
Well, yeah. That flat dropped the ball on that one.
Yeah, because they were naming them right and left there for a minute.
You mean Bullinger could find them and the Pharisees couldn't?
Yeah. So
that's pretty good.
That was 52. I don't know why I missed that, but I missed that. But and then in 53, and it says, and every man went unto his own house. Well,
that kind of broke up the meeting, it sounds like.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Everybody went to their own house, but Jesus didn't have a house there. His place was up on the sea somewhere, you know, where they fed the 5,000, back toward that direction. So, where did Christ wind up? Well, 8:1 says this. Every man went to his own house, but Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives. So the Mount of Olives was in the area. So Jesus evidently spent the night in the Mount of Olives. So, and he doesn't really need a bed, I don't think, if he wants just to lay down and rest. God could provide that for him easy enough. Okay. So, that's the start of chapter 8. So we got out of verse 7 and got into chapter 8. Verse 1 starts off in chapter 8. Of the word and, which a lot of the verses in scripture do, because sometimes it is a carrying on or a carrying over. And so verse 1 says, but Jesus. But there's not there. Went unto the Mount of Olives. And this is connected to verse 8:15 and then back to 7:32. So let's look back to verse 7:32 for just a minute. 7:32 said, the Pharisees heard that the people murmured these things concerning him, Jesus. And the Pharisees and the chief priests sent officers to take him. Well, you know, that goes back to what we just read about the Pharisees asked, where was he at? Okay, what about the other one? What about verse 8:15? We haven't got 8:15 yet, but do we need to go there right now? Well, I don't have that in my, I ain't got that far yet with my notes, but I'll read 8:15 anyway. I've got it in scripture. And 8:15 says this. And Jesus told them, answered and said to them, "Ye judge after the flesh. I judge no man." Now, this was where they had brought a woman they had caught in adultery.
In the very act.
doing the very item, yes. And, we just probably won't get there tonight for sure, but we're going in that direction. But verse 2 says this. And early in the morning, he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, full stop. Isn't that a full stop? No, I guess
not. Semicolon.
Okay. Semicolon.
Half stop.
Yeah. And he sat down and taught them. So, early in the morning, they couldn't wait to get there. Well, why could they not wait to get there? If they didn't believe Christ, why was there a crowd come pretty early in the morning? He's kind of like a superstar, even though they don't announce that that be the situation. But he's so different. He is just so different till he don't fit in to their way of doing or thinking or whatever. But this is a telltale thing. And early in the morning, at dawn, the note says, he came again unto the temple and into the temple. And that word temple in the Greek is the Hieron. H-I-R-E-O-N, Hieron. And all the people of the Laos came unto him. And he, having sat down and taught them, or was teaching them. Well, what do you think he was saying? He'd got a bunch of people here that maybe a few believe what he was saying, but the rest not so much. So let's go on to 3 then. And it says in verse 3, let me find where I'm at here. And it says, and the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. That's a full stop, isn't it?
Nope, half stop.
Okay. And when they had set her in the midst, they asked Jesus. So, they had cooked them up a scheme here. So they were going to ask Jesus something about this.
A gotcha moment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They said, oh, we'll get him. And Jesus knew this. I mean, you can't get anything by him. So he knew what their thoughts were. If he can shield himself away from them and they can't reach and touch him, he's got power and a lot of it. Okay. So, and the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken or having been taken in that word, taken there is E-N instead of I-N. Taken E-N, adultery. And E-N describes something more of it being just one person.
Involved. Like within. Yeah.
It's
all involving.
It's yeah. More than. It's a more than word. Okay. So that's important. Let's see. In adultery. And when they set her, in the midst, or in the midst of these people that were there, in verse 2, the ones that come early in the morning, and when he came into the temple to sit down and taught them, or were teaching, so he had a group of people there. They brought this woman and put her right in the middle of it. You got the idea. Okay.
If you'll notice, they never really tried to make too big a deal unless there was a big crowd, because they wanted the crowd to see him fall.
Right.
That was what it was all about.
It wasn't that they wanted to give him an opportunity to persuade somebody.
Yeah.
And it seemed like a persuasion was
It always backfired.
More of a one-on-one kind rather than a crowd.
Yeah, whenever they tried to embarrass him in a crowd, that never went well.
Never worked. So we get to verse 4, and it said, they said unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Okay. Does that mean anything? In the very act? Well, if you're going to make a charge against somebody, you need to have more than one person see it. So it says by two or more people, you know. And so Jesus used this a good bit because he said, well, you say this, and I heard you, and my Father heard you.
Yeah.
Now, is it true? You know, so, but here he is. When Jesus hears it, it's like the Father hears it too. Now don't forget that. Okay? I'm spilling my beans a little bit here. Because I've already asked you what's more important, the seeing or the hearing. Verse 4. And they said to him, Teacher, Master, Teacher, the woman was taken in adultery in the very act. And in the very act there in the Greek is adouphoros. It means self-detected. She was doing something in this act of adultery that they could, if they were called to the sound and they heard it, and so they caught her before she could change her part of it to get out of it. See? So that was a specific word there, that means, self-detected. Now, in verse 5 said, it didn't say and now, but it said now. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned.
There's a full stop.
Yeah.
But what do you say?
But what saith thou? What do you say? What's your deal on this thing? He already knew what they were doing. There wasn't anything really new to him. He said, Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned, full stop. What saith thou? The law, listen to this. The law preferred only to a betrothed damsel. You remember the last damsel that we talked about being betrothed was great with child, and that was Mary.
Mm-hmm.
She was that way because God had chosen her to be the mother of his seed, okay? And to show that the Lord knew their thoughts and knew also that this was another man's wife, he complied with the law prescribed in such a case. And that law was Deuteronomy 22:24. Deuteronomy 22:24. So that if this damsel had took it upon herself that she didn't like the situation she was in, that she decided to go out on her own and look for someone else, and it might have been one of these weddings that were done by the fathers and the mothers of the families, that they said, this is what you're going to do. And so they could do that. And it wasn't something that the stoning would take care of. I mean, that's something that didn't need to be done for the stoning to take
place. Well, what the note says here, that the stoning only referred to a betrothed damsel. I'm sorry. That's in Deuteronomy 22:24.
Yeah, but see, she was caught in the act with another man, and Jesus knew that.
But she was a man's wife. That's not a...
She was a man's wife.
Yeah, she was already married.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well...
And that's the reason he wrote on the ground, is he did the proper thing.
Yeah.
Per Numbers 5:11 through 13, or 31.
Yeah.
And stooped down and wrote, as it says, the curses
twice,
on the ground.
He did it twice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
So, you see...
He got them.
What these guys brought there to him was not a stoning
offense. Yep.
And so
that's a good point.
And so he brought it out that he knew the law that they're not talking here about a stoning offense. They're just talking here about something that somebody didn't like the situation they were in and was changing it on their own without a vow, without a vow to the two that was involved.
And I think per the law, they were supposed to bring the man too.
Well, yeah, they should have. But the thing was that they thought they had it. They didn't understand.
They thought they had him on a gotcha.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and this is a little more complex than they thought it was. Okay. So, what sayest thou? That in verse 6 was, this they said, tempting him that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though that he had heard them not. But if you go back and you look at this Deuteronomy thing, and you go back and you look at the Numbers thing, the Numbers thing is a situation of writing on the ground, but the Deuteronomy thing is writing in the dust in the temple. And the dust in the temple was holy. and the dust in the temple could take away with by using that water that they washed in and to cleanse this. This is kind of like a baptism.
And it could
rinse away what this man and woman was doing on their own, because it wasn't that they were lawfully tied together.
Yeah.
Each one had a separate idea. So, and the man should have been preferred over the woman's anyway, because that's the way it was at that time. It was the man over the woman. But the other one, it goes on down to where, when he done it again. But let's look at 6 before we leave here. And it says in 6, for they said, tempt him that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he had heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. So he said, okay, you brought her. Here she is. I've heard what you said. The Father has heard what you said. Now, are you right or are you wrong? He said, if you're wrong, you're going to be in trouble. And when he said, you cast the first stone, nobody cast a stone. They got up and left by their age. They left. How in the world could that take place?
Weird.
In a group of people that was sitting around and the woman in the middle. How could they know who's the oldest? Right down to the least. Well, do you get anything by God? No, you don't get anything by God. He knew the oldest from the least, and they went out that way. They moved away to another, just moved maybe off to the side. Jesus stood up and looked at her and he said, where did they go? They left.
Yeah, they understood the law to the letter of the law, what they thought they knew.
Yeah.
But they had no love, no compassion, no mercy, or any of that he had. He had an understanding beyond their understanding.
Well, Jesus told her, well, no man here to condemn you, and I don't either. Go and sin no more.
Yep.
Meaning that I'm not acquitting you of your sin right here, but don't do it again. The man was not there to take that portion of that
responsibility. Yeah.
Door that they had open there for that conference. So we can leave it right there because we've already passed our time. But he told her to go and sin no more. So that didn't work. What else is going to take place?
That's why I love Gospel of John, man.
You got to keep asking yourself these questions, because sometimes it's not really clear as to how God gets to them, how Jesus gets to them. But the fact is, he knew all the law. He knew it all. So it was no problem for him to catch them in there wanting to catch him. So he done it to them before they did it.
That never went well for them.
So this is the way that works. So sometimes that's the way that the Lord works. You think you've got it figured out, and you haven't got it figured out. And Paul got to be that way pretty heavy, because Paul knew the law too. He knew the law both ways. He knew the law of the Jews, but he also knew the laws of the Gentiles, or the Italians, or whatever you want to call them, the people from the rest of the world. And so he was a pretty good lawyer himself, and he had been schooled by Nicodemus. So he knew what he was talking about, and he knew what Nicodemus understood. And so here we are, and we've got this thing. But I thought, well, at one time I'd stop there at the end of 7, but that wasn't the end of the story. So I was kind of like Ronnie with his chapter in First, I mean, with his deal in First Corinthians. It wasn't a stopping place.
Yeah, it's just hard.
So you just can't stop there when you really want to. Unless the law means, unless God means for you to, unless he stops you, that's another thing. But the thing was, what's the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey used to say. And that's the reason I always thought a lot about Paul Harvey, because he always done things that he didn't want you left hanging. He wanted you to know there was a reason for all these things taking place. So God bless him. Keep studying and keep doing it. Think about this now.